Can you say that again?
Hakuna Mungu kama wewe Yahweh.
I know, but you said it that time. A minute ago, you sang it.
Hakuna Mungu kama wewe Yahweh.
I'm moving. That was good.
He's recording you.
Yeah, that too. I can now download that and make it a ringtone.
Please do.
Anyway, hey, welcome back, Underground. The position I'm in causes me to stare deeply into your eyes, Moses. So
I can close them.
Yeah, but I won't. So this is week three, kind of in a series we're doing within a series, all that stuff that Corey usually says of how the church is led and developed, focusing on next gen. And today we're hanging with some of our summer interns from the inaugural summer internship. It might have been the first and the last. Who knows?
Hey, yo. This interview will tell us.
This is the exit interview. All right. So we're here with, do you want me to say Desi or Desiree?
Whatever your heart desires. Most people call me Desi.
Okay. This is the way that I find out what people actually want me to call them.
Yeah.
If you were to do the voicemail on your phone right now, it would say, hey, this is
Desiree, because it's more professional.
I'll call you Desiree.
But most people just call me Desi because it's more relational.
What do you call yourself, though?
Desi. If I introduce myself, it's Desi, unless it's to an adult. But you can just call me Desi. Just do Desi.
We're not adults.
I feel like we took a long time to land. Yeah, on
that. I don't know.
And Moses Tassi. So here we go. Let's do this before we get anywhere else. We should add some context and the fact that Corey and I are sharing a mic, and I'm self-conscious about my breath right now. Who are you? So like in like 2 minutes or less, just quick kind of overview of, hey, I'm Desi and, I'm from, and I just graduated from, and that sounds really boring. Make it more exciting. Do it.
Yikes. That's a lot of pressure. My name's Desi Foster, and I just graduated from Kansas State University with a bachelor's in human development and family science. A little bit about me. I'm from Colby, Kansas, small town. Big ol' oasis. There's a creepy wee Jesus right there. So it just stares at your eyes, and you just feel really loved at the moment.
It's on a billboard.
Yeah. So right as you like drive down the I-70, you know, you're seeing it creeping, and you know, just makes you feel a little extra holy.
Sorry, that caught me off guard. Excellent. All right, Moses.
My name is Moses Tassi. I am from Nairobi, Kenya. I go to school in Lee University, and I'm majoring in intercultural studies. Fun fact, I'm fun.
Amazing. They made it really exciting.
All right, you got to get close to the microphone.
My bad.
All right. So, McElvain, you need to talk for a second. The next question is, why a summer internship?
Yeah, I mean, and even to expound upon that, it's like, how did you hear about this summer internship? Where did you get connected to the Corys? And then why did you choose to do this internship?
Those are all really good questions. What I was asking is, why did we decide to do a summer internship?
Well, store those in the back of your mind. I've got them there. They're on lock.
Okay. All right.
Why did we decide? A little bit, so in my thought process and even the stuff that I was involved in with REACH, Regional Evangelical Alliance of Churches, it was kind of more of a micro house church type of network in Kansas City that no longer is going. But we definitely had a high priority on the pipeline of kind of next generation in terms of, you know, and part of the reason I love working with high school, middle school age students is this reality that they're, you know, like as we interviewed Creighton, even it's like the pivotal moment stuff where it's like, well, they can recognize things and implement much quicker. There's way less to deconstruct on the student side. So the same can be said about college students in a way, and they exist inside of kind of this bubble where relationships are all the time, everywhere around them. And they can really implement some things with DMM in a way, in adulthood, potentially in a workplace or a neighborhood that is just not as common, not as frequent, right? You don't rub shoulders with new individuals as often as you do in a college context. So I've always had a deep belief in that. And I know Corey in the same boat as well, because we're both named Corey. but we just know those kind of things. So we, you know, I think him and I both had that desire independently. And as I was stepping out into Zero Hour stuff, it was just kind of part of the thought process that we will eventually be sending students to college campuses that will be fully trained, equipped, and ready to make disciples on those campuses. And so we wanted to see that same reality that those students that go to those campuses, or even ones that exist on those campuses, would eventually come back, move to Kansas City, have a job, do the ordinary person thing, but with this deep-seated mindset that they would make disciples in whatever context that they're sent to. So basically, in Kenya last year, I think there were a number of college students in Cory had already been pouring into student ministry, campus ministry, ICTHUS at K-State. And, you know, he was starting to train and do a lot of things implementation-wise there. And so it was just kind of a natural, hey, this makes sense to do. Let's all, you know, like we have a potential few students who could be interested. And I think it started with like maybe one or two at all students that were interested. And we're like, well, I don't know. Let's see if the internship works. And, you know, that was definitely Corey O's posture. Like, yeah, let's just roll the ball out and see if it, you know, like if we play baseball. And I'm kind of like, okay, well, we need some structure. You know, let's interview them. Like, let's see who else might be interested. And it was just, it kind of has been formalizing over the summer itself as well. So, but that was the reason we wanted it. It was mainly this pipeline concept of going, believing that, you know, as we train people in the Kansas City area and we want to see the actualization of gospel saturation happen, like you're going to have to, in so many pockets, have a part to play and train in many different avenues and places. So I think it was just really that heart desire to see that reality happen. Now all the beautiful questions I asked before. Wow. Yeah, so to both of you individually, you know, how did you hear about the underground internship? And then what is it that made you decide to actually want to do the internship? It was just two. It wasn't even that complicated, those two questions.
What was the second one? I didn't get it.
It was just like, what made you decide to actually follow through with wanting to do the internship?
Last year, when around August, no, July, Corey and the other Corey plus guys from Kansas State came to Kenya. And my family had the honor of, like, hosting them, and we know Tim, who's related with both the Corys kind of way, and Roy Moran, who's a mentor to both the Corys. And just being on that trip, we saw a lot of discipleship making northern part of Kenya, which was Marsabit. And through that, they invited me to the internship.
So, but what make you, why'd you want to do it? I mean, you met the Corys in person and you still wanted to do it? That's the question.
No. I guess in school, I do intercultural studies as a major. And I've always wanted to go out and do God's work and preach it, but then never, except from home context, never have done that outside kind of thing to different cultures. And so Kansas is basically like a hotspot for refugee. Like basically the whole world is here. And so it was the best place to go and do it. And plus it was pulling me out of my comfort zone because I'm not a good person with new people. So yeah.
Yeah. I heard about the internship through, wait, the questions were, how did you hear about it and why did you choose? I heard about the internship through, the campus ministry ICTHUS. I met Corey Oz and Riley, and I remember her talking about how she was doing an internship and I needed one for my major this summer in order to graduate. And so I'm still graduated, but technically still out of classes. Anyways, and but what kind of made me do it was just kind of, I liked the idea of, and just like what the whole thing was about in general, the ministry. And I just know that as myself, like when I was in high school, I didn't have anyone at all. I didn't know that it was even possible really to follow Christ. Like even in college, I was still like, what? Like students do this? No way. There's no way. And so I remember praying last year, or kind of the beginning of in the fall, just like what I wanted to do with my life. And I knew that I was comfortable around the emerging adulthood age, which was towards the end of high school into your adulthood. And so just kind of throughout that, just kind of led me to, the Lord led me to this ministry. And also just like another kind of side, I have like kind of a longer explanation, but just I came from a more of a toxic campus ministry. And so there was only one way that I knew how to share the gospel. And it seemed to be only one touch. And from my experience and from conversations with others, it was very harmful to them and very hurtful. And I was like, that's not Jesus. That's, there's no way. And how do I continue to follow Jesus and help people and share the gospel and do his mission if I'm just pushing them away? And so I was just like, there has to be another way. And so luckily Zero Hour and, well, KC Underground had the internship option. And so joined in, and I've just been here for the ride. So.
All right. So what did you do? What was the plan from your side of like what you did? And then we'll find out like, was it true?
You're supposed to go the opposite way. And then I can affirm or deny.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying you learned.
Initially, you know, so Corey and I both have ran internships in the past with college students. So we had kind of a premise of what we were going off of, where it was, you know, usually a seminar speaker, and many of them past were like a seminar per day. And we kind of had this mindset that we did not want it to be like every day, every hour you're doing something similar to how in the student side that I've been trying to operate. It's like, we're not going to go, but there's going to hopefully be rhythms of like where there is times that we're learning, but more than anything, we're trying to be out in the field, like literally trying things like prayer walking on a consistent basis. So, you know, I think the main, we had 3 days essentially that we were going, okay, these are the three things that are the 3 days we're going to schedule weekly of things to do. So Monday and Wednesday, seminar speakers would come in and teach on different topics around disciple-making movement stuff, or just even soul care, or just leadership stuff in general, to just help them as believers and followers to implement some concept of disciple-making in the context they were in over the summer, but then also wherever they go thereafter. So we'd have those Monday and Wednesdays, and then Fridays we would always prayer walk. And so on the Zero Hour side, we prayer walked many different high schools in the city. On the For the Nation side, you guys prayer walked a lot of the neighborhoods and the spaces in which you know that, you know, God was calling, you know, especially the For the Nations hub to in that area. So around soccer fields and other places that... Yep. Guy and others were already doing life and ministry in. So those were kind of like the main three things. And then I think outside of that, like I knew rolling into the summer, it was like, well, we have the trip, so the Zero Hour interns will go on the trip. and there was so much more than that, I think, that we got into and realized, oh, there's way more to be involved in. And so a little bit was a navigation for Corey and I of what is this going to be? What is it going to look like? But let's make sure we maintain this kind of mindset of it's more of a part-time internship as opposed to like full-time, every hour of your day is zapped. And yeah, so that's what we thought we were doing. Now let's hear if that's what we did.
Did you feel that way?
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I already know their feedback.
I want to know your favorite seminar speaker.
Hey, yo,
oh,
bro.
I'm just kidding. I'm still trying to fill the role of Corey Osmond here.
Well, from For the Nation side, just like what Corey said, we've been going around to neighborhoods, specifically around neighborhoods like specifically the Hispanic neighborhood where we're living at right now, and just praying and making that space like an altar for God to come and just touch someone within the neighborhood, and then we go and meet them. And so the biggest thing was just, we met a lot of people, and the biggest thing was just going to have a sincere relationship with them, because, you know, I want to love them. But at the same time, I'm going back to Tennessee.
You're right.
So I want to show them Christ's love and then refer them to someone. And that just keeps on continuing. And so we've seen a lot of that, and God has been working.
Yeah, for on our side, for the Zero Hour side, I would say it was pretty successful in the way that it was set up, and pretty, it was like exactly how I think the quarries planned it in the sense of just part-time. It didn't feel like it was over stressful. It felt like it was just like the right amount of work and free time. And like sometimes we could sit there and say, oh, we're so bored. But it's like really, that's just plenty of time to like sit and rest. And I think that was like something that was actually really needed, especially as we're going with so many different students and just building those relationships.
Yeah. I want to clarify one thing too for the listeners, just the, like we're saying the 0 hour side, the For the Nation side. And so, I mean, as you know, if you've listened to the Underground at all, there is like this element that several hubs throughout the city that are either geographically based or affinity based. And so I would say probably For the Nations and 0 hour or affinity based at heart, that have geographical influences in ways. But yes, they, like our vision at the start of the summer was eventually we would love to have interns that exist within every hub in Kansas City that are playing a role. So that could be even a neighborhood, you know, where it's like a specific geographical area that interns would plant themselves over the summer and see how these families are doing life together in the neighborhoods and planting the gospel and throwing parties and all those things. Like, so that was the vision at first. And just because Corey and I are really running the lanes of For the Nation side and 0 hour. So Moses spent his time predominantly on the For the Nation side, even though he hung out plenty with the 0 hour side.
Yeah.
And then Desi on the 0 hour side. And so we had in total 7 students, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 7 students, and Haley was kind of playing a dual role in a way because she's staying a little more long-term on the For the Nation side. So, you know, it was basically 3 and 3 on both sides, which was awesome. It was cool to have just representation on both sides. And I think that's the uniqueness, too, of what this internship was, at least this summer, and what we want to hope and maintain is that there is, like, you're not coming and doing one thing. In a way, it's like there's many different places and ways that you could serve and implement, DMM principles on the ground in different places.
Yeah.
So I just think that's helpful to understand as we were navigating this internship.
Yeah, and it was really nice because we got to also help with For the Nations at times too, like with the soccer camp or different things. So.
All right, so I'm going to prep a question and then ask you a question that I want you to answer first before you answer the question I'm prepping you for. So the question I'm prepping you for is thinking through a couple of big moments from the summer that you're like, yes, that was significant. I want to celebrate that. Let your mind be thinking of those. The question I want you to answer first is like, what did you learn? So the difference in those two is like, yeah, you sat through some seminars and people talked at you. And there's some processing in that, but it was still like, a moment of teaching, mentoring, coaching you on specific content that the Corys hoped you grasped. So keeping those separate from like, God taught me this because of this big moment that I experienced into this first question is just like, what'd you learn?
Yeah. I would say one of my favorite seminars that we had and probably one of like, I don't know. I just feel like it was, was when John Schwartz came. He was from our ministry back in Manhattan and called Ichthus, and he came and talked, and he talked about obedience. And he like came in and he goes, hey, so like, what's the definition of obedience? Like, what's your guys' definition? And we give him our generic like definition that we always give. And then he was like, great. Now that's not a bad definition, but what if I were to tell you that is nowhere in the Bible? And we were just like, I just sat there and I go, John, what are you saying? I was like, all right, heresy. but obviously not. And so I was like, okay. And he like brought it up just of like the different words in the Hebrew and Greek of the way that obey is. And so it's to like one of the Greek and Hebrews is to hear, and the other one is to guard or to keep. And then he also brought in do. And so just the idea that makes it such like so much more of a relational aspect of when Jesus says, if you love me, then you will obey me, instead of having the negative connotation of obey, of like how it's such a strict dominating word. You know, it's just more of, if you love me, then you will hear me. And when you love someone and you hear them, then you go and do. And so it just, I think that adds so much more relational aspect of a father, of a loving and caring father, but also adds in the grace for myself for when I don't understand or when I keep sitting, when I keep doing what I do and I don't know what I do, why I do, and it's because I don't hear. And when I don't hear, I don't have the right view of Jesus in that specific area. But that also allows me to give the grace to others if they don't have the same convictions as I do or some sort, because they may have not heard quite yet.
That's good. I'm not lying, but Brian, yours was probably my top one. Is my top one, not even probably.
I saw him pay him right before this episode. Just be aware.
Amen. So, when you talked about roots to fruit kind of thing, I was in a really troubled place this summer. And when you taught that, it was just like God speaking to me directly kind of thing. And I felt like a lot of people needed to hear that. Even from Beck and Lee, because there's a lot of things that happen and I tell myself, oh, I'm this way and I'm this way and I'm this way. And I think God is this way. But then what does his word say about me? How is God gracious? How is God glorious? How does God care? And so just that process of repentance for me from who I was and what I'm doing to what does God think about me? Especially that time when we were having that prayer session, was it last Wednesday? And we were talking about how God is proud of us and how God loves us. It's easy to say, but so hard to understand and feel that. Yeah. And so I was just tearing up on that. And I know God loves me, but then do I understand it? Kind of thing. And so that was two of my biggest moments. And another one would be soul care with Bree. Personally, I love people and I disregard myself a lot. And soul care has taught me on how to take care of myself. Like I said, I was in a tough spot this summer. And so soul care taught me on accepting situations as it is, but not just being there, but involving God in it. And so as we evolve God in it and as we accept the situation, God moves through that. And so multiple times I have done this. We say, God, why this? You know, we don't say, God, help me with this. I go back to the story of Moses every time after I've heard that. When the greatest army in the world was coming down his neck, when they just left Israel, and they were at the Red Sea, and we have this people complaining, and they're like, Moses, if there was a grave, were there not graves out here, we would have died back in Egypt and all that. But then Moses doesn't even like complain to the elders or anything. He's not like, okay, set up a wall or set up, we have weapons or something like that. Now he goes directly to God, and he's like, What do you want to do? Yeah. You know? And then God tells him, yo, stand firm. You know, and know that I am God. And so that heavily impacted me.
That's good, man. All right, so just a couple of, what were one or two big moments where you're like, I did an internship and it was pivotal. I pivoted.
What is pivoted?
You changed. It was a big moment, something you're different afterwards.
Oh, okay.
You kind of gave a little bit of that, but if there's other moments, you can do that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm going first. My bad.
It doesn't matter.
I guess one of the biggest moments is still with Brian. I mean, he paid me a lot.
So influenced. No, what a guy.
I'll send you a bill, baby.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of it. I don't, except for church, if I'm being honest, I don't really worship that much. And I love the way that we have a lot of, we just take time to worship on Wednesdays. And so that was like a huge thing for me. And then just the whole schedule of KC Underground in total and the way we have to read, we take 1 hour in our morning to just go through the Bible. Because one of the things I was talking with the dudes was that, well, before this, I had zero commitment to reading my Bible every day. Like, I know the word, yeah. And I have a Bible app that alerts me, here's my verse for today. But then I never looked at it. And so now I feel like I wake up and I'm like, okay, I need to read the word. What does the word say about this? And so that was like a huge changing point for me. because I want to speak about God and I want to say what God is saying, but then how can I do it if I'm not hearing him? You know? So, yeah.
That's good. I'd say there's actually like quite a few for me, but I'll keep them short. But one of them, I like, so before, like I stated in my kind of introduction, I came from like a really toxic campus ministry before I joined ICTHUS. And so coming into this internship, I was really nervous. I was just on the verge of not doing it because I just didn't want another ministry to be just kind of micromanage me and just kind of watch me every second of the way. And so like I was just already kind of wrestling with what does it even mean to follow Christ? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Why am I measuring it by X, Y, and Z when there's supposed to be freedom in Christ? And what does freedom in Christ even mean? Blah, 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 blah. But then also, how do I share the gospel? And so anyways, like one of the big things for me this summer was just kind of understanding that freedom. Like throughout this internship, we work alongside of people that are vastly different from us, from either like where we come from, but also age and gender clearly. And so it's like, I don't even know. And so it was just really helpful to kind of just hear everyone's stories and hear where everyone was at. And it's like, okay, you can be following Christ without having to read your Bible every single day. Like, that's not how you measure. You know, it's not like, it's not some instant formula. It's not this way, but there is so much grace involved in the grace in Christ. And so it's just like, it was super beneficial and just really brought me, helped me feel loved at where I was. And just like, as a daughter in Christ, like you are. Like, I remember one of the things that was really helpful was on our Tennessee trip, was we had a meditation piece, and one of it was just like, what does God say about you? And I remember that was just like really impactful for me because like I've thought about that, but it just, the Lord just went so much more in depth of like bringing my story in of like who I am. He said, your name is Desiree. I called you by name, and specifically calling me by name through my testimony, my airport man. He said, you are the 19th person God has brought me to in this airport, and that he wants you. And then just the Lord brought it into to desire. Your name, my name is Desiree. Desiree means to desire, and to desire is to want. And I want you. I chose specifically you. And so that was just like really helpful. It's like, okay, he chose me to like walk alongside. Like, I'm capable. I'm able to do it. Like, that's crazy. And so I think that was just like really healing for myself. Yeah.
I wish you'd have let in with that story, because if I'd known God called you Desiree, I wouldn't have called you Desi.
It's okay.
Adults, that, see, yeah, it's the adult part, yeah. Okay, so if you're thinking about future college, other peers, interns, potentially, what would be something, why would you recommend or encourage another intern to do this specific internship?
Because there's nothing similar, like, at all. Like our community that we are so used to, our generation, and most, I mean, honestly, almost everyone here in America is used to just this standard westernized version of church and just this like one specific way being taught at. You do this, there's an authoritative piece. But like with this internship, it's less about authority and it's less about you, but more about others. Mm. And so it's like, if you're wanting to be more others based and more of Jesus and washing their feet and walking alongside of them, I would say that is the best way to represent Jesus in the way that he calls us to.
If you actually want to be like Jesus, you could do our internship. No, for real though. But that's beautiful what you said. There is a rhythm to like slowing down, the humility piece of just going like, man, we're trying actually to help others see this actualized in their lives. And that's a huge part.
Well, and that was really helpful of like when I describe it to people. I remember someone at the beginning told us about the starfish method, kind of, when it comes to like leadership or something. And it's not just this like big hierarchy thing. It's like all of these pieces. So it's just, you're all working together. You're not sitting there. No one's way above you. No one's way below you. Like, you're treated as a person right where you're at.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. I guess, sorry,
you look around the room like there's somebody else who's going to answer next.
Moses was like, I don't know that I would tell people.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. Could you repeat that question again?
Yeah, just why would you recommend somebody else to do this?
Oh, yeah. When I was Desi said about the... I was kind of hesitant to say this because I don't want to call out. But then just... like the culture itself here is more about inward in the church kind of thing. And if you read the Bible by the commissions, the disciples didn't stay together for long. They all went their separate ways and were used by God in their own ways. And so as much as it is good to have a common place where I can come, meet the same face, pray and sing the same songs, sometimes you need to go on your own journey where God can use you, just like the disciples. And so what I would say is that if you're going to take this internship, you need to be really open-hearted to what God wants for you in your life. Trust me, sometimes it will not be what you want specifically or what you like, but then if God is there, he meets you where you're at, you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, let's just do this. Like, if you had one thing to say, you know, similar to how we asked Creighton, like, the people who are listening, especially if it's, like, college-aged intern or just a college-aged student, what's something that you feel like, you know, that at least you learned from the internship or something that you would impart upon them where it was like, man, this was so valuable, and, like, if I could just get every college kid on the campus that I was at or am at currently, what would you say to that college student?
I don't know how to say this straight away, but if it was a freshman me, I started this project some few weeks ago. It's called Healing, and it's me doing photography art, showing how people can heal away from depression and griefs in my own kind of set and involving God in it. I would say KC Underground has helped me realize how I can get healed from that, and breaking the whole norm about God not being firmly judged with like a hammer ready to strike you, but God being a lovely father, you know, someone who loves you despite what you've done. And so I guess I'm talking to my college self, if the getting on KC Underground's training changes your heart, especially for me. So yeah.
That's good. I would say just to like any college student, especially like that may relate to the idea of coming from a toxic ministry of some sort, I'd probably more of just say don't stop showing up. Like, just continue. There is an enemy, and he really is there, and it's not against flesh and blood, but it is against the spiritual like realm. And so something is, you can't protect your own heart, and so just letting your, and it's hard, but watching your heart literally be on a line and just watching it balance there, and then if it just drops and shatters, you cannot be the one to pick up the pieces. You have to let Jesus do that, and that's the best way that you're going to heal, and that's the most fruit you will ever get from it. So
that's good. Thank you all so much for hanging with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks.
Wrapping up this series within a series within a series. Anyway, we'll come back and update on Zero Hour in a few months when there's like 80 microchurches in the area. You feel that's too much? Did I overpromise?
Nothing.
It's not up to you, brother.
Not up to me.
All right. See you next week, Underground. Thanks for listening to the Underground Podcast. We hope that it's either been an encouragement to you or that it's created a curiosity about what it means to live into a missionary mindset with an aim to make disciples and see the church emerge. If you're a missionary or a microchurch in Kansas City and you're looking for coaching or just belonging within a network, we'd love to connect with you so we can learn about what you are doing and how you are joining Jesus for gospel saturation in this city. If you're outside the Kansas City area and have questions about what it would mean to catalyze a disciple-making movement that leads to the emergence of microchurches in every network within your city, we'd love to connect with you as well and offer whatever resources might be helpful to you. You can find out more at kcunderground.com. Grace and peace, friends.